When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's go!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Bingetown TV. This is Kathleen, and I'm joined here today with my co-host, Julia, to chat about Survivor Season 45, Episode 2, titled Brought a Bazooka to a Tea Party, said by the queen of the season, I'd say, Emily, the investment analyst. Okay? So before we dive in, I just want to say, because we didn't really do that, we didn't really do in the beginning last time, like, what did you think of the episode in general? Like, just straight vibes. How are you feeling about season 45?
I liked this episode a lot better than the season opener. I think we talked about this when we watched it together last night, but it takes a little time to get into the groove. Yeah. Obviously, with 18 people and these like small six-person tribes, it's going to be a lot of switching between people. And the content that we come to Survivor for, at least I come to Survivor for, is the people and them. So when we're switching around so much to just like introduce everyone, I'm not quite like fully grounded in the season yet, but we're getting there. Damn, we're getting there. Last night's episode, I liked a lot better. I'm feeling better.
Speaking of that, so I had seen a deleted scene from last night's episode, and it's when Brandon and Emily are together because the other three are like deliberating or whatever. And Brandon rips through what I saw was seasons 1 through 40, and he names every second person voted off. And as far as I can tell, he was correct. And like the clip was cool because they actually showed like almost each person getting their torch put out. But I'm sure they didn't put it in because it's a huge spoiler. I mean, it's like, you know what I mean? But I mean,
but that's pretty like savant of him. Go, Brandon. I mean,
of course it is. I mean, his whole shtick was that he's a mega fan. In general, like, I think Hannah Rose and Brandon really are two people that I will remember versus like, if you ask me who's the first and second people voted off in other seasons we watch, I'd be like, I don't fucking know. Like, they
who
really
was it last season? Do you remember? Actually, I do. Season at least the first one.
44. Oh, yeah. It was Maddie.
Yeah. But that was a pretty fun tribal, first tribal.
Yeah, I remember because now I really like her. And I like that her handle is like Jeff Probst, can you hear me or whatever, is on Instagram. And I'm pretty sure it's been that forever. She was like a mega fan too. And she went home first, which is unfortunate.
But poor dear.
I follow her now. So that's
okay.
Why
that's
I
a great,
that.
That's a great, great point. Hannah's departure, iconic. Brandon's two episodes, iconic. Instant classics, both of them.
I agree. And I have to say, Brandon, I love you, but I couldn't watch you for one more episode. I hate to say that, but I think
his story was complete. His story was complete for us.
You did what you came to do. I'm so sorry that, like, the gag of it all is this. I hate to jump right in like this, but it's like this. He comes on Survivor. He's a mega fan, right? So episode one doesn't do great. Episode two, he finds a Beware advantage, but he doesn't want to risk his vote. And then not 2 minutes later, he goes on the boat and risks his vote and loses the puzzle. He doesn't win a single thing. And he never got to cast a single vote on Survivor because in episode one, they didn't vote.
Man.
In episode two,
I've been
soaking up all the Brandon content I can online. And I hope he's not getting too much hate because I really did like him. I just think that like in an Emily versus Brandon situation, it had to be Brandon going home.
I kind of feel like he was there to like grab props and then get off the island.
I mean, like, we'll get to his departure. I think we'll both have a lot to say about his departure, like his physical torch being snuffed. But yeah, he was literally there. He won a raffle to be there.
Oh my God. He won a radio contest
or like a cereal box top thing. Like he
sweet. right.
I know. Okay. All right. So Julie and I jumped the gun recording last week. So we didn't get to talk about a few things that have been in like the Survivor ether in the last week. One thing that is specifically to Survivor 45 that we didn't talk about last episode is Keturah actually aged herself down, which I didn't realize.
Yes.
I loved that. I love that she's like 34.
She was just like, oh, me too. They could have said anything and she would have been like, me too.
I mean, I didn't think twice about it. People knew she wasn't. So they were like, hey, she, little lie, doesn't matter. I just thought that was really clever. And I still love
Well, you're trying to keep momentum. Everyone's getting so jazzed. Like, you're Libra, I'm a Libra. September, 29 and 30, 35. Like, no, you got to just keep it.
Yeah. Okay.
Good on her.
Okay. Two, here's the bigger one. So the secret twist that Jeff dropped on his podcast for listen
on fire
with Jeff Probst. So the twist was that for anyone who doesn't know, basically, and I actually don't know, is this it doesn't seem like an ongoing twist. It didn't happen in episode two. So I guess maybe it was just the first tribal twist, to correct us if we're wrong. So the twist is that the winning team of the immunity challenge got to pick one person from their team. In this case, it was Bello. And they sent Kendra to Lulu for the deliberation day, like basically all day after immunity. And there's tribal that night. Get all the gossip and spill the tea to her fellow teammates and just gather intel. And then the double twist is that she gets to cast a secret vote that nobody knows about. I would like to hear your thoughts on this, especially if it was only going to be a one and done. Like, it seems like that would be a twist that would be every single episode. There's a similar twist in Pearl Islands, and apologize for bringing Pearl Islands up again, but the twist in Pearl Islands was that the winning team got to go and pick one item, no matter what it is, from the losing tribe. They can pick anything.
That's what's happening next week.
Yes, that is what's happening next week. I saw that. Yeah. So what do you think about this? What do you think about the fact that they could... It was supposed to be such a big twist, and yet they edited around it so flawlessly that no one even noticed something was weird.
Yeah. What it says to me is a couple of things. First is you can plan for every scenario and still not get your way, Jeff Probst, okay? Mm-hmm. Which is part of the excitement, right? I'm sure he loves that. That's the first thing it says, is that like we're getting back to the core of the game of like the players surprising Jeff and Survivor as an entity.
Yes.
The next thing it says to me is that there are no further implications. Like, we will, because it was already cut, there is no knowledge gained on Kendra's part that she can take back to her camp, and it's never going to resurface because they can't
go back,
circle back and say like, oh yeah, by the way, this happened, like in a secret scene. So that's it. Like, they tried something out. It didn't stick. I don't think it's a bad idea. I think it's like kind of fun. You know, we're getting into the like new era, all these like advantages and twists and like whatever. That could have like seriously rocked some shit up if we actually went to a vote. I think it's kind of fun knowing about it as like an Easter egg or as like an after the fact thing for true fans.
Yeah, I would have liked to see a deliberation from Kendra. Like, I assume Kendra would have had to make the vote before she went back to Bello to discuss it. And then I would like to see her deliberation, like listening. Okay, say it was in this episode, like Emily Brandon, who am I going to put my vote in? Like, I don't know who they're actually going to vote for. So I'm going to just throw it on Emily or something like that. You know, I just would have liked to see her deliberation and then bringing it back to Bello. And again, like, it causes drama. Like, any advantage, quote unquote, you get in Survivor can be the thing that kills you in Survivor, which we'll get to with the boat later. When they go on the boat to get the advantage with the three B's, Bruce, Basile, and Brando. Brandon.
What it also says to me too, because anytime that you're sent away from the rest of your tribe is an opportunity for you to not be in on conversations, right? Yeah. So I also think that this is something where we missed out on scenes that were likely, Kendra, you go, like, we want you to go, come back and tell us everything, rather than like, let's send Kendra and like, we'll talk about getting her out, or we'll talk about our long game while she's out. It's a little too early to like be making those calls, but you have to think that anytime you're separated from your tribe, there are potential conversations happening without you that could impact your long game.
Yeah, agreed. I don't have much more on that topic. Do you have anything else on that topic?
No, let's talk about Adam.
Okay, so Adam Klein, who was on Gen X versus Millennials, great season. He's in Jeff Probst on his bad list. He's on his absolute bad list. So if anyone listened to Jeff Probst's podcast, Jeff went on for episode one to kind of warn people against paying money to get coached to get on Survivor. So Adam Klein, who was on that season, is charging to train you. And the gag of it all is that apparently, allegedly, Caleb, Sean, and Brandon, all on Lulu, paid for his service and got on. So Jeff basically gets on his podcast and is like, if you're going to get on Survivor, you're going to get on Survivor. It doesn't matter how much coaching you have, like who you are intrinsically to yourself is you're either going to get on it or you're not. And I'm like, man, Jeff is stubborn. Like he is the most stubborn. Even today when he was talking about the main title and the other guy on the podcast goes like, did all those emails that people sent you, like, did that change and make you add the main title back? And he was like, no. I'm like, you would never admit defeat. Like you can never admit that like sometimes something is off on Survivor and doesn't fit right or didn't work the way you wanted to or didn't sit well with the fans. He's like, no, it didn't have anything to do with that. We know this and we know that. I'm like, Jeff, just admit defeat sometimes. But back to the Adam thing, I'm gonna hand it over to you because I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know that I
know how I feel. Care. I've had some nights to sleep on it.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, here's how I feel about the Adam Klein business. First of all, when I listened to the podcast On Fire with Jeff Probst and he like jumped in like after a commercial break to be like, it almost felt like a commercial, like an added spot because it had no tie to the rest of the content that the episode surrounded, which is fine. Like it's your pod, do what you want. For some reason, it did not click to me that it was a former castaway who was selling these sessions. I thought it was just like a husband and wife doing it out of their basement. And I'm like, let them have their business. Yeah. Let these people have their business. Support
small business. It's Small Business Friday.
I mean, yes. I don't know. It just, I just was like shocked that he had something to say about this. Then you and I got to talking about the actual business itself. And I did some reading. I did some listening. And here's where I stand.
Okay.
I think to Jeff's point, he is right in the sense that if you have it, it's going to shine through. It's going to be seen. It might take a little bit more pulling from the casting directors and the casting team to be able to see it. And maybe that's where people might think they might fall short. But I get where he's coming from in that like, the stars are going to align for you and you're going to be right for this season or this moment, or it's going to hit and you're going to get through. And if you've got it, you've got it. If you don't, you don't. On the other hand, and I have two kind of thoughts around Adam's business. To me, after sleeping on it and thinking about it, I'm like acting like this is such a huge fucking deal. After doing some, like, I really meditated on this. What he's doing is what a lot of high school seniors hire college coaches to do.
Sure.
It is to help them frame up. It's to probe and pick at the right places to uncover the things about themselves if they are not a natural storyteller that were there all along.
Mm.
That then you bring to the surface and you help the casting team see that a little bit more clearly. I don't think that he's rewriting anyone's stories and making them something they're not. I think he's finding the tidbits about them that are super interesting and make them unique and make them someone who might be great for the show. But yeah, Survivor casting is going to see that otherwise. We're not talking about all the people that have hired him that didn't get through. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's my one thing. My next thing is, Jeff, you created this, it's not a franchise, but it's like, it's a way of life. It is like, it's a money making platform that a lot of people use for in other ways, right? Like people are doing guest spots, people are booking things, people are doing podcasts. They've got like entire networks based around reality TV and Survivor as a segment of that. why are we not celebrating the fact that people are using this thing that you've built and made so popular to lift them up and like make, like, it's not like they're saying they're paying people money to not go on Survivor. Like, it's all in support of this thing that you have built. So like, just, I don't know. That's my thought.
Yeah. He's just, Jeff is just,
he feels
stubborn,
jealous,
like,
to me. He feels jealous.
Yes. He's jealous. He really, okay. I listened to every episode of
getting worked up on
season. Yeah. When season 44 aired, I listened to every episode of Jeff, because 43 was my first live, and then all the other episodes or other seasons I watched were in between, same with Julia, and I was really interested in all these things I missed, like, because the first season of his podcast was very like, this is what it's like on the first day, this is how we cast, this is how we do this, so I was really interested in it. And then at the end of the podcast, they do this thing where they say, where they let people email and kind of shit on Jeff. And the way he answered that really informed me on how he is. And I think he is. He's stubborn. He's protective of Survivor. He's very like, this is my baby, and if you attack it, I will kill you. And that's like,
but is what Adam's doing in attacking it?
No,
like, is that
I don't think so. The only thing this, I will tell you, the only thing this news, and we can get into the actual episode, I feel like we're spending a lot of time on this, but the only thing this made me think was, wow, Brandon, Sean, and Caleb spent a lot of time trying to get on this show. Like, that's like a lot. Like, how many times do you have to apply to actually get on this show? Is no one like a one-time applier, and they just like, not since the beginning, maybe. Nowadays, they probably get a billion tapes, and it's like the same people year over year.
I don't know,
maybe.
Though, because then you hear Hannah just be like, I just kind of did it on a whim. I sent it out into the universe, and I got picked. So I really think it's just like, you either have it or you don't. And I think Adam's service is probably like helping people frame it in a way that's better storytelling.
Yeah.
We can anyway. All, like, yeah. Okay.
I just wanted to bring it up because it was so interesting, and it's in the news, and this is a Survivor podcast, so why not talk about it? And we had seen Gen X Millennial, so we can actually talk about Adam like we know him.
Adam, I got you, man. I love you. Come on the pod.
Yeah, I'm about to pay.
Like, I truly might. Why the fuck not? I got 200 bucks.
Is that what it was?
It was like two. I looked at it. It was like a couple of 100 for like a 30-minute session or something like that.
Okay, so back into the episode. So in the beginning, I think we really got to see the difference between 60 and 90 minute episodes, because we spent so much time at the camps, at all three camps. And this was great. I mean, we had a lot of funny moments. Let's start with Reba, I guess. And
yeah,
I think they got the least amount of time, maybe. But just quick, some notes I have. Sifu's getting the goofy edit. Like, he's punching trees. He's chopping branches with his wrists and being like, there's a lot of like, hey, look what I can do this episode. Like, hey, Brando, what's this?
Between Sifu and Bruce. Yeah.
Bruce doing the robot is like my hell.
I was going to say, it's like something I want tattooed on the inside of my eyelids.
I mean, it was what we laughed hardest at, but at him, not with him, I think. I would like to say. Oh, you were laughing with him.
No, I was laughing at it. It was really something to behold.
It was, but we'll get to Bello. So back to Reba. Jay Maya, again, you brought this up last episode. She immediately saw the like hieroglyphics on the thing and was like, this is a code we can crack. Like, she's going to steal the Declaration of Independence. She needs like
Independence. She could steal that. That seems like it's easy enough to steal.
National Treasure is her movie. I actually Googled, like, you know, that meme where the lady's like looking at like with the symbols in the air and she's like looking all confused. That it was like Jay Maya, and I was like, who is that? Like Kate Blanchett in the meme? It's like a random person from a different country. Like, is this
that was Kate Blanchett? Oh, that was a great edit though. That was like, they're really having some fun there.
They did a good job here. She was trying to crack the code. Jay Maya thought it was a code, which it is, but it's really just half the letters is what it is. It's not.
I was looking at it and I was like, that word says dig.
Yeah. Well, Austin's paper was more legible than the tops,
fair.
I think.
Fair. But okay, I looked at Austin's paper then and I was like, dig the treasure X. Like, I was like, got it.
Dig the palm tree, chopped palm tree.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Jay Maya was like truly trying to do algebra or like calculus.
It was impressing me.
It was impressing me. But I was also like, again, it's taking us all back. Like this, how many people are just here to steal props? Like they're all just here to do like, I can't believe I'm on Survivor. And like, they're just doing too much.
Yeah, I agree. And again, we'll get to Brandon leaving. And I think we'll have like a thesis to write on Brandon and being doing Survivor drag. But yes, dig at the fallen palm tree with an X on it. Austin did end up finding it once he was alone. I honestly, when Sabaya opens the Beware Advantage and hers is just like, find your little map, put the piece of paper on the map. I'm like,
I know.
So much harder. Like, why is it? Why are they so
because
different?
It's not like it's not a thing that wait, she made it. She got through one clue and she got to the next task. Yeah.
She has it. She can't melt the thing.
Okay. I do want to talk about that. Okay.
Me too.
First of all, yes. Her first clue was a lot easier to do unbeknownst to people. Once you get to your camp and you like walk around a few times, I'm sure you don't really need the map. Right. And unless anyone was like in protector mode and like trying to steal a prop, they probably like forgot about it or like weren't keeping tabs on it.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing, and I know we do not get to see her even attempt to melt the wax around the idol. But I guess the idea of that is that it's not going to melt very quickly. So you need to find a way to build a fire away from the rest of your camp to like have that thing be melting over the course of like many hours and like tending to the fire. So that I think is fucking cool.
Okay. So since we're here, I had this conversation with you last night when we watched. Do you think it actually had to be melted? Can we whittle it? Can we make like a fucking like duck out of soap? You know what I mean? Like, can I whittle it? What's the difference? How is Jeff going to know if I melted it?
No. Well, here's the thing. Drop Your Buffs was saying on their coverage of episode 2 that could she have brought it to tribal council?
And just
because there's plenty of fire there. They got torches. Like, can she just go like, hey, I have this. I need it to melt it. I'm going to sit it right here and I hope it melts by the time we get through the chit chat and get to voting. I don't know. I really think that it's more about like the integrity. And I think the players are at the caliber in season 45, like after so many years of this being a thing where they are going to try to honor to the best of their ability, how the things like the spirit of it and how it was like intended to be played. The intention of that being played is not to chop it in half and get to the idol. It is to do the thing that like complete the task as it was intended to be fulfilled. No cheats or whatever. But I don't know. What do I know? I'm not Jeff Probst.
And watching them like stare at this tree and like get attacked by ants and being like, how do we do this? And yet there was just like a rope around that you just have to do. When they eventually chopped it down and the thing fell, I was like, wow.
So anticlimactic. Like, yeah, for sure.
Okay, let's just finish out Reba. There's really not much else. I would say D with the permanent thumbs up toe. I mean,
loved it.
It's exactly how you get screen time is you say, I have a freak toe and I'm going to talk about it for an entire minute. And I mean, it's got my attention.
It's moments like these that make me be like, I could go on the show. I could do that. Like, oh, we're just being like, we're being casual. Like we can like with strangers, we can, I don't know. I'm like, oh, it is a people thing. Do I like people?
Yeah, you're great with people. I would get on there and do pinky on a string all day long.
She was giving it away for free, though.
She was giving it away for free. A lot of people got a show. But I think D didn't have
what's the Venn diagram of that? Survivor fans to foot fetishies. How big's that overlap?
Huge. Oh, my God.
Massive.
Fucking gigantic.
Yeah, because I guess they are barefoot like a lot. Right.
I just mean like
a lot of people wear sneakers on the challenge, though.
To me, people with foot fetishes like watch reality TV shows. Like they sit down on the couch and they watch. They're watching Big Brother. They're watching Survivor. They're watching They're watching The Amazing Race. They're watching
CBS.
They are watching CBS. They're watching Paramount Plus. They have the like ultimate subscription.
God.
And they're in my DMs.
I wish they'd get in mine.
Okay. So it's really tough to get screen time in episode 1, 2, 3. Like, you got to be doing something. But I will say, like, adding 30 minutes without a separate reward challenge, it did give us a lot of time with people at camp. Like, we even got Mama J.
Yes.
And so is Basile.
We got a lot of Basile. We got a lot of Basile this week.
I liked Basile.
Me too. I would love to be a fly on the wall and like have the producer, like one of the producers actually say, oh no, I think this person is the like fulcrum of an alliance, because both Julie, Mama J, and Basile mm-hmm. thought that they were like the one to like the nucleus of bringing the four. Who are they? I wrote this down. Drew, Austin, Julie, and Dee together. They both thought that yeah. they were responsible for that. And I guess that's fine. Like, if you want the other person to think that they're responsible so you don't look like power hungry or like you've got too much control, that's fine. But like, I want to know the truth. Like, who actually was it? Because they both have very different stories.
Yeah, I agree. I think when Mama J was like, he's the age of my son. And then Basile goes up to Mama J and is like, I'm just like, I'm so hungry. I can't even like, I don't even have the capacity for this. It was just, you just made me so happy. I was like, that felt like a really
sweet,
genuine interaction between people who were so happy mm-hmm. to be approached for an alliance.
Totally.
Like, you know, if someone must came feel up amazing. To me on Survivor and was like, you seem really cool, I feel like we could trust each other, let's have an alliance, I'd be like,
it reminds me of last season when Danny told Franny that he was going to play his idol for her and she damn near got to tears. It was very sweet. It's like, your emotions are like, you're tampering them. You're pushing them down just to like be able to manage like your social play a lot of times, that I feel like when you have the opportunity to have these one-on-one moments where you're like out in the jungle away from everyone else and like someone says something that catches you off guard or like makes you hopeful for your gameplay, it like people get real, real emotional and it's cool to see.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, we will save the boat stuff for later. We'll talk about Bello next. So this is going to be a hot take. I don't know what it is about me and the blue team, but this is quite possibly like the most intrigued I was sort of in this because for future episodes, because eventually this team is going to go to tribal. And that's
You're
when
right.
I feel
I
it's going to get
see.
Fun, because there's no obvious like dud on this team and everyone thinks they have this solid alliance. So like, Jake loves Bruce. Like, you got the charisma of 25. Whatever the fuck that means.
I wanted us to figure out what our charismas are. If Bruce 12. Is a charisma of 25, you told me mine was a 12, which is 50% of Bruce, which I will take.
So
nearly 50.
Do you think he's talking age? Or do you
I
think
do
he's
not know what that man was talking about?
He has
about.
To be talking like is what's the his scale if he's saying 25? You got a scale
out
of
100? Out of 100.
You got a charisma of 25. He never charisma? Told him the scale.
Well, charisma is something you got, honey, or you don't, and it stays with you for your whole life.
You mean it's a yes it's or a no?
It's a yes or no, Jeff.
It's not
Adam.
It's not a 1 to 50 or a 1 to 25.
No. The charisma of 25. I'm sorry.
One of my favorite bits was, you know, Survivor dunking on Bruce in the next time on last episode, right? It's him doing the robot. It's him making faces. And Keturah walks us through that gorgeously this episode. She's like, fucking Uncle Bruce, I can't deal with this guy. He's the worst. And she calls him her nemesis, which is iconic. Like, Bruce has no fucking
Those
idea that
words.
She is seething. And all I could think about is this blue team, you know, when you're on Survivor, it is a social game. So you got to pretend that the guy doing the robot is fucking hilarious. And the best part about it is so no one is going to be the one to outright say, like, are we fucking...
You hate this guy too?
Yeah, you hate this guy or what?
You guys think charisma of 10?
Especially, okay, Bruce, who Katura goes... This guy's name dropping Kane.
You know what? I could name drop Kane.
I could name drop Kane.
I could do it. I could do it. And I'm nobody, let me tell you. And I could name drop Kane.
It's the first thing I thought when it happened, when they said he's name dropping. He's just like, you know what, Kane? He lives in Canada. I talked to him a few times. He's such a good guy.
That's insane.
And I'm like, name drop Boston Rob. Name drop Parvati. Name drop Sandra. Yeah. Name drop, you know, name drop somebody.
Come on.
I'm so on Team Keturah here. And the weird thing is like the Jekyll and Hyde of Bruce. He's truly like, he's actually, he knows he's being a goofball. Like, he knows Fun Uncle Bruce is a persona. In his talking heads, he's like, man, I need them to do some stuff, but like, I'm not going to like, whatever. But, and then he's doing the robot the next time they cut to him. What do you think?
It's a very interesting approach. I have heard some people say that they think that maybe he is dialing it up to charisma of 25 because he saw the love that characters like Carolyn and Jam Jam got from last season.
Yeah, which is that's because that's their true authentic selves. Like, they couldn't help but be charisma of 25. They couldn't help it. They oozed charisma of 26, even, I would say.
This is my new favorite thing to say. It's charisma, the ultimate compliment.
It is. And with Jake's accent, it's tops.
Yeah. I think he's probably like, amping it up quite a bit. The thing that I think is interesting is that you're right that all it takes is one person to look around and be like, are we serious? And I'm surprised that Keturah has not done that yet, to look around and be like, you guys actually think he's funny? But I guess you can't if no one else is like really giving you those vibes. But it's quite possible that everyone else thinks the same thing, where she's like, the rest of the tribe is eating out of the palm of Bruce's hand. And like, then the next person says the same thing. And everyone's just like trying to act like they think he's so hilarious because they think that it puts them in the majority with the other tribe members, which it could not be. I don't know.
Agreed. And okay, so the Bruce thing isn't the thing that I was saying was intriguing. The intriguing thing is, I said last episode that I didn't think Kelly was really feeding into the Kendra Keturah thing. And now in this episode, you see Kelly like balling out with the boys. She's a guy's girl. She's a girl.
She's well positioned right now.
She is. Brando and Kelly are right in the middle.
I think Kelly's better positioned than Brando, because I think that she just has, what, at least from what I've seen, like a stronger connection to the girls than Brando does. And she can do that, like, I'm a guy's girl thing.
Yeah.
With Bruce and Jake too.
I think
you're right. Bello is going to be interesting to see them go to a tribal council. And I hope to God next week it's not fucking Lulu, because I want to see these people, like,
I know there's
throw someone under the bus.
Really sweet about seeing a strong tribe of six who all love each other, quote unquote, or like a strong have to go to tribal and be like, oh fuck, you know. And honestly, sure, if I had to guess, I would say Kendra goes home. If I had to guess, if Bella goes to tribal, I would say Kendra goes, or Bruce. It depends on how annoying Bruce gets for the next few episodes.
I think they'd be keen to send Jake home.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah. Now we're heading to the Lululemon tribe, affectionately named by Sean, who I like a lot, actually. Obviously, Lulu is the tribe of the hour, end of the last hour. Week after week, Lulu gets the most screen time because they keep having to go to tribal. They have the most drama and the most, honestly, the funnest players, I think. I'll start by saying, say what you want about Emily, but she is whip smart. Like, she may be like a little socially, like, she's just aggressive and her social game is off, but she is whip smart. Like you said last week, when she was doing, like, throwing Caleb and Sabaya under the bus, like, that's not smart. It's just that she did it in the wrong time. Like, that's smart gameplay. She just doesn't know how to apply it. But, like, in this episode, the second people came up to her while she was looking for idols, she was like, okay, well, let's get this straight. I know you're coming up here so I don't find the idol independently. Like, she knows everything that's going on. You can't dupe her. She fully gets it. And I would have been really sad if she went home this episode. I think she has so much potential this episode. Last episode, I said I love to hate her. I don't think I love to hate her anymore. I think I just may love her because her arc in this episode was out of control. It was so genuine and like heartwarming.
It was really cool to watch. It's funny because like that cold open that they do when they like come back immediately from tribal.
Yeah.
I just have to address the... It's not even passive aggressive. Because I don't think she realizes she's doing it. Just like these robot ways of like trying to connect with the other people in her tribe where she's like, you can see her so hard trying to like apologize, but she's saying it. And I wrote this down because I was like, it is so hilarious that she said about tribal council. Is there anything I said in particular that I can apologize for that will make you feel better? It's like, tell me the thing that hurt your feelings and I'll apologize for that.
Yeah, because I couldn't possibly pick it out. I'd have no fucking idea.
Well, that too, but it's also like just the phrasing of it is like, what was the thing that hurt your feelings? Because I'll apologize for that.
Yeah, I'm sorry for that. Whatever it is,
just that one.
Emily is the charisma of zero.
Zero is absolutely zero. But anyways, no, I agree that it's no longer love to hate. I think she's so interesting to watch. I think she's bringing out things in the other team members that I think are very telling about their characters. Like you can see where Sabaya is, it's really getting under her skin and it's kind of creating like a block to her. I think that she's going to just... The foil to that would be Caleb's response. Like you see someone on the outs, you step in, you lean into that and you figure out how to make this person's disadvantage your advantage.
Caleb.
And like, ooh, pristine love. Think he's playing a really interesting and really good game. It all is in like, all right, what am I willing to forgive? What am I willing to just like see that this person is the way that they are? And I'm going to like lean in and embrace that and figure out how I can make that work for me and my game and my long game. So I think he did a really good job. I think the things that we're seeing out of Emily and the things that we're seeing, the ways that we're seeing the way she is bring out other tribe mates characters is very, very interesting to me because it's all in how you react to the crazies.
Yeah, I think there's three wolves here. I think Sean was really in the camp of we cannot keep Brandon. Like, I'm sorry. Yes. I don't care how annoying Emily may be. Like, if we don't want to be at tribal next week, we got to get rid of Brandon. He was just like, Sean was the one who straight up was like, you said you were good at puzzles. You said you were this. You said, Where are your strengths? Sabaya is like, Emily's fucking annoying. I can't deal. She's out. She's bugging me. She's out. And then there's Caleb, who really has a nice finger on the pulse of this game. Like he is crushing it with the empathy and just the social game, because like you said, he saw someone down, but it's more than that. It actually seemed like he just seems like a really good guy. Like it's good gameplay, but it also seems like maybe that's just his personality where he's like, hey, he changed her game forever and maybe her life. Like, honestly, I'm not lying. Like, the genuine change of last episode to this episode and, like, just her smiling more, her, like, making jokes. Like, he had to look at her and say, you just need to make connections with people. This game is about connections. Like, ask about something about someone. Tell a story from your life. And all of a sudden, she's fucking killing it. And I'm like, Caleb, you sweet angel. You're on my fucking pool team and I love you to death.
I'm here for it. I think it's so interesting that for as much as we've been talking about this, we have not talked about, besides the like the beware and like the risk challenge, the puzzle. Like we haven't talked about the challenge. Let's talk about the challenge.
Before we get there, I just want to talk and say that my favorite tweet that I saw about Survivor.
Oh, yes.
Was when Sabaya gets on Brandon's back and he says, I have scoliosis. Watch out, I have scoliosis. There was a tweet that said, there has never been a greater growth arc in Survivor history than Brandon becoming a ladder. And I think that is the greatest tweet.
Oh my God. How poetic.
Shout out to Zach Word on Twitter because
thank you, Zach.
Absolutely slayed it for me. I mean,
in two episodes, what an impact this made.
Yeah, what
had.
An impact for real.
What an impact. Should we go over to New Jersey and say hey?
We should go over to Jersey. He literally goes, if I can do this, like for the puzzle later, he's like, if I can do this puzzle, just put me on a boat back to Jersey right now. And then he failed.
I loved that. I loved that. And then he failed. I was getting a little stressed out by Basile's approach to throwing the tiles in the sand when he thought they were out. Because
no,
it's
that's
like,
exactly
I've seen
what
this
I
challenge before. Really?
Yes, because upon a rewatch, I saw his technique and I was like, that's exactly what I would have done. The ones that match have nothing to do, so get them out. That's what I would have done. I would have gone, no, done.
But they're Brandon, very close.
What if they're close?
They are close. They're made. You could get one stripe off
I mean, Brandon did. He quite literally did that.
So it is possible.
You have 3 minutes. It's like, go with your gut. It is what it is. Whether you keep them on the table or not, like Brandon stacked them. So you're not going to be able to compare them anyway, like stacking them or throwing them into the ether. It doesn't matter. It's like,
I do like, and I've been hearing this in other coverage that, I really do appreciate some of the chants and some of the like bullshittery that was taken out for this, what are we even calling this? Like this, like shipwreck. Is it Shipwreck Island? Is this like where they go to?
I have no fucking idea.
It's like send somebody away and they go do something and they go on a trek and they come back. That thing. We've had ones where people just put their hand in a something out, and that's just like, it's just like odds at that point. I like that everyone was presented with the same amount of information. It just gives the players more agency. It gives them like the choice to be able to like know all the facts in a 26 day game where like there's a lot that you just do not have control over. It's and you do not know the truth of the matter. Like it's very nice to be presented with like, this is this, this is how you do it. This is how much time you have. This is what you get if you win. This is what you get if you lose. Are you in? So I appreciated that. Thank you, Jeff.
Well, thank you, Jeff. But I also have an issue with it in general. Like, I think that for five seasons straight, there's been the Shipwreck Island. I don't know if you made that up or not, but Shipwreck Island.
Sounds right.
And it's the same fucking thing. At least for the last few seasons, it was the stick your hand in a bag. If you pull the right one, whatever it is, like risk your vote or not risk your vote. Before it was kind of like, you pick risk your vote or not. If someone else also risks your vote, then you have to like, you know, it's all up to chance depending on what the other people do as well. That felt like dumb to me, but this one is a little different. Like I really like this new advantage. So this is, I don't know if it's new actually, it could be an existing, but safety without power. I've never seen it used before. That's for sure.
No,
But I also didn't watch 42. So, I didn't watch 41 or 42. I forget, but either way, so you leave tribal and you have no vote, but you also can't go home. So you have safety without power. Basically, it's exactly what it is. And the last time they can use it is 10 people left in the game. So Basile wins it. I just think that I think they would be better off doing more of this stuff hidden at their camp. Like, I found something interesting at camp. Nobody knows I found this, but I have to do fun things around camp in order to get this thing. I just think that like sticking them on the boat, it's like, we all know you're going to get a thing. So when Basile comes back and Brandon comes back, Brandon tells them straight up. I think Brandon's smart to be like, listen, I have no vote. That's fine. What do you think about Basile telling them ounce for ounce exactly what happened? Do you think that was smart or do you think that wasn't smart?
I think that it was smart because it's not like he got an outright immunity. Because the last time, there's 17 players right now. The last time it can be used is at 10. He's positioning it as if it is a win for the tribe, right? It's like, I'm going to use this post-merge and it's going to be something that like we all won. But like it's in his possession, so he can use it whenever the fuck he wants. So I couldn't think of something other to say than like I chose not to risk and I didn't play. And that to me sounds fishy because you come back with nothing. And then people start, you're just planting the seed of doubt. And when like trust is the ultimate currency here, it also made it was also very impactful and very wise of him to show the scroll if he's going to tell the truth. Right. I think he played at the best. That was best case. Obviously best case is to win, but I think like what he won was something that like was fine for him to share. And like, I don't think it's going to have major repercussions and like his
what
own
I,
game.
What I think would be interesting is if Jeff sent them on a boat and they literally had nothing to do but talk and get back on the boat. And then when they would come back, be like, we just talked. We didn't do anything. And everyone would be like, you fucking liar.
Well, that's kind of what they did to Carolyn and Brandon and Danny of season 44. Remember, they sent them. This is where they just had lunch. And Carolyn was like, they're broing out and just rolling her eyes and like spitting oranges out of her mouth. No, it was like, I'm pretty sure it was send these people to Ship Wheel. I looked it up. It's Ship Wheel Island. And they just went and had lunch. There was nothing.
Divine. And they just ignored Carolyn. They were just like, we should.
And she was like, we should not.
Icon status. Carolyn, we love you. Come on the pod.
Oh, God, baby. Love you.
Okay, so you want to get to the immunity challenge?
Yeah, what did we do? We ran, we coconutted.
We jumped, we swam, we laddered, we puzzled. Jumping and swimming and laddering and puzzling.
Oh, we hit the stuff. I loved that hit the stuff.
We hit the stuff and we littered the ocean.
Best hit, Austin. Worst hit, J Maya.
Yeah. She hit, but also best hit. She had the least litter. She had the least pollution in the in the water. So best hit,
J Maya.
You know
what? You always glass half full, baby.
I know, right? Come on. Anyway, so new rule, you can't sit out back to back. Here's the the conversation that's been happening in the world is from 44. Claire from 44 sat out multiple times in a row. Yeah, so you can't sit out back to back. And then two, there was a different variation of the same old tree puzzle. And people were saying Coral. That's because of like Carson.
Yes. Rightfully so.
Yeah.
I love Kendra, people just breaking the game.
I was going to say Kendra broke her absolute hoo-ha.
Puffy.
Yeah. Can I say that? It's cracked.
Oh, yeah. That pelvis might need to get checked out for real. Just to backstep, I love all these people just breaking Jeff's little game.
Oh, you mean like people who like study the stuff and
like
practice?
Let's just break this game. Yeah, like we've got two game breakers. Claire just being like, I'm going to go on Survivor. I'm not going to do a sing. I'm not going to lift a fucking finger.
Classic.
Breaking the game. Rules change. Carson, I'm going to 3D print this shit.
Yeah.
Breaking the game. Rules change. Jeff, stay on your toes, man.
I will say Julia's sister bought me for my birthday this year, like an Etsy cutout of the tree puzzle. And it took us, I don't know, 14 people and an hour to finish it.
We tried to like time lapse video, like all cute. And it was the time lapse video was like 20 minutes long.
And it was much smaller and it wasn't like a stand up thing. It was like on a piece of wood. So I think I was like not quite understanding how the puzzle pieces go. But I was like, oh, I can't go.
It's also like either. Three sheets to the wind. So,
yeah, definitely. OK, so obviously the like make or break of this challenge is the puzzle. Basile and Mama J crushed the puzzle. Kelly and Brando crushed the puzzle. I mean, it was you'd be hard pressed to find another challenge that close. Like, I mean, it was like the slap of the puzzle together and the backup would be like, we're done, Jeff, we're done. But Sabaya's commentary to Brandon during this was so funny. She's like, no, there's no guessing. There's no, what do you mean? You have to tell me like what is going on. Yeah. Like, and Emily was like looking at him like with such disdain. It was, he cracks under pressure. It's just how it is. Like,
I think
panics.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I'm sure he could do that puzzle normally on a normal day, but he needed Adam there
in his ear coaching.
He should have paid a couple hundred extra dollars.
He's wearing an earpiece and it's like, you know, when kids like go in and they like cheat on their SATs, like this is, he did the college application and now he's cheating. He's like also has to cheat on the SATs.
Yes. Correct.
But I agree with Adam's business. So I'm just bringing this up just to be an asshole.
I agree. Adam, with I love business. You. Yeah. So, I mean, wasn't even close. I mean, I was just like hoping for for my sake, because I had Brandon in the pool, that they didn't lose. But I mean, I'm out. I'm on the board now.
Yeah,
Julia was on the board because of Hannah Rose. I'm on the board because of Brandon. So hopefully.
Do you have any feelings about the people and like maybe the logic behind the sit outs?
Okay, so Sifu sat out for Reba and
Katura.
Katura sat out. Okay. I don't know. I don't know the logic, right? Because we haven't actually seen these people do much yet. Like, when you get through a season, you know who can swim and who can't, and who can like do certain things and who can't. I just have no idea yet. Like,
yeah, I guess I'm just asking because it's like there's so many other things where people are trying to play chess and think like five steps ahead, that now this rule's been introduced where the person has the sit out has to compete in the next game. So it's like, are you looking at this? Is Sifu looking at this challenge as like a strong person being like, this seems fairly easy. I think the rest of you got it. We're not sure what the next thing's going to look like. And I think if we send you guys in, we'll still win. And I have a chance to participate in the next one that could be more strength based or whatever that, it is.
That sounds perfectly like, I would logical. Say that's exactly how they were thinking. I didn't think of that, but that makes sense now that Jeff is saying that. You know, there's so much behind the scenes. I'm sure there's like 30 minutes of deliberation that we don't, and like explaining of the actual course and stuff that we don't see. So that makes sense. Okay. So Jeff was especially savage in this. I like it. Like, he's getting more and more savage. It's just like shitting on the yellow team. And how about one last thing? Bruce doing that weird walk off.
I hated that. Did you rewatch that?
I did rewatch. I rewatched the episode and I took note of it because I remember not really paying attention to the first watch with us.
I was like, did you see that?
Yeah, I paid attention.
It's like, I get if you're going to do like the crazy bit with your own tribe, but the other people don't know you and they can't read that that's a bit. That just looks like
showboating.
Yes.
Do a toe touch. Do a herky. Like, why are you doing that? Do something belly actually flop. Impressive. Do a backflip.
Don't like look around and be like, I'll walk off.
That walk off wasn't charisma 25. A belly flop would have been charisma 25. Like, just
would have been
pain.
Charisma 30.
Yeah, that would have been 30.
Well, but if we're talking age, then maybe it's 22.
We're not talking age anymore. It's all arbitrary. I like it that it's all arbitrary. We don't know up or down is good. We don't know, but
we look at each other and go, could it be?
Could it be?
It could be
22.
It could be.
Okay, so now it's time to deliberate, and Emily gives her shot in the dark for
to Sabaya.
For Sabaya and Alex. I keep doing this. Julia and I.
I was like, what castaway are you calling Alex?
No, commercial break. We're discussing like the significance of her giving this shot in the dark. And I'm like, well, it's just for trust. There's not really any actual significance because a shot in the dark truly is a shot in the dark. Like, there's just like almost no way you're pulling the shot in the dark. So, but it's truly just being like, I'm not going to play this. If this like, and I know you don't want me to play this, like you don't want me to have the chance to pull the shot in the dark. So like, this is a token of trust. We can be an alliance. Brandon can't compete in challenges and you should pick me.
It's like the one card you can play. So I get that. But I think I was reading so much into it and in that I've seen seasons and episodes where people are literally saying, hold my immunity, like hold my idol, because like that's how much, and like, we'll play it for you or like hold on to this thing that like people end up getting voted off and they walk away with, or like whatever the thing is. Like, this just felt like, I guess it had no implications. I didn't sit too much to think about all the ways it could shake out to be like, could this have actually rocked the boat? But it was just a token of, hey, I want to work with you. Like, I'm giving this to you as a sign of my allegiance or of my trust. And like, I'm assuming that it's going to be reciprocated in my name not getting written down tonight. So I understand that. But I was really just like, what does this mean?
Yeah, and I think it worked. I mean, I don't think it would have taken much to convince Sean to
vote. It was smart.
Yeah, it was smart. And I do think that Emily, like, got up off her ass and worked for it. Like, she
get up put your in ass work. And work.
Yeah, she put in the work, and I am fully in on Emily now. And
me too.
Caroline, the same sister of Julia's who gave me the puzzle, has Emily in her five in her pool, and she picked randomly. Like, she didn't read the bios. And we made fun of her so hard in episode one. And now I'm like, she may actually make it far in this game.
I think if she does, it's going to be as like a drag along.
I don't know.
But what do I know?
It seems like she's competent enough in like athleticism. And like, she got over that bridge really fast. She swam. She got over the bridge. She jumped. She swam. She
right. But that's no longer criteria for why people stick around. It's like all in how people see their the next six looking like for their best case scenario, the next five looking like for their best case scenario, the next four, the next three, the next, like, who do you want to go final with? And then everybody, like all those permutations, there's so many different ways you can play it to be that, true. That it's no longer just like, hey, she's athletic. I think she could go far. It's like, it's not that anymore.
Okay. Or so speaking of that, so obviously Brandon goes home. We can talk about tribal, but in the episode coming up, the preview, Sabias looks at Emily and yeah. says, it's got to be Caleb, right? So meaning Caleb's who we're going to vote off. I am going to guess that is Sabaya tempting Emily as like a trust thing, like testing her to see if she runs back to Caleb and tells Caleb. Because why would Sabaya turn on Caleb this early? Like, that's because Sabaya doesn't actually like Emily. So why would she be teaming up with Emily to get Caleb off? So I'm gonna guess that's a test.
That's a soundbite for sure.
Yeah for sure. So we'll see how Emily does with that. I don't think that's a very fair. I think if Emily goes back to Caleb and it's like, Sabaya wants you off, then Caleb's probably like, I trust you.
Yes,
you're my girl.
does anyone know that like Caleb and Emily have this like little,
I don't know, but I
thing
love
going
it
on?
I love okay. it. And I think that they would get Sean in a second. I think Sabaya is really stubborn. Sabaya has that soundbite where she says, like, I didn't realize I was like the leader of the team. And now I'm like, I kind of like it. And I'm like, ooh, girl, don't get drunk on the power. Do mm-hmm. not get drunk on the power. That will bite you in the ass. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. I still really love her. She's great.
Yeah.
And she's a player. Like, she wants to come and play. She wants to compete. She wants to win. And I think that's something that, like, speaking of Brandon and being a super fan and him getting his torch snuffed and saying like, oh, this is awesome, Jeff.
Who like, almost kissed Jeff? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
There was a season where somebody like looked Jeff in the eye and was like, as they were getting their torch snuffed and like went in to like, honest to God, kiss him.
Tongue?
I wished. I don't know. It was so uncomfy. I'm going to look that up. I'll tell you next week.
That like, I need more people that are players than just happy to
fans.
Be there.
Totally. Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
I want you to be happy to be there, but I also want you to be cutthroat, savage.
Yeah, for player. Sure.
Everyone's doing friendship instead of doing slitting throats. I want blood.
Oh, man. That makes me not want to apply.
Oh, you're going to apply?
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay. I'm in. Not to apply, just to watch you.
All right. Who do you
I'm
want
already
to
hungry.
Lose? What team do you want to lose now?
I am. I'm hungry right now.
Who do you want to lose next? Who do you want to go to tribal next week?
Bello. Let's throw him in. Honestly, I think that the Reba will be a little less interesting because it already seems like Jay Maya's already on the outs. Sifu's on the outs because the four of them have a little thing. So it'd be Jay Maya or Sifu. And I think Jay Maya has good potential. I would want Sifu out just because I think that he's just bringing goofy energy, not like
serious
actual. Yeah. Not like, and you don't have to be serious for me to like what TV you're bringing. I just think that like for now, it's like surface level. I want some,
it's caricature.
Like, yeah, and I think Jay Maya doing like memories with like the like fucking
like doing calculus
Pythagorean theorem in the air, like I like that. Like, that's good. She's giving good like edits. So yeah. And I want her to sing. If she doesn't sing,
oh my god, she better
season.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jay Maya. I did not listen to your single. I'll listen to it next week.
You promised.
I'll listen to it next week.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that. I want Bello to lose. Sorry, Bello.
Sorry, Bello. So anything on the final tribal besides like Jeff being like, I was a water boy, which is not true.
I'm sorry. Why did we need to, Jeff, you are not a contestant. You are not a castaway. I do not need to know that you cannot do a left-handed layup.
Is that it? You read that off your notes.
I did read it off my notes. I was like, what can I not do?
Do a left-handed layup.
I actually wrote, here's what I actually wrote, a layout. I wrote, Jeff can
Bruce
do should a have
done a
layout
off the deck.
All right, we're former dancers, so like a layout means shit to us, but like it doesn't mean anything to Jeff.
You should have done a C jump off. Is that what it's called?
A what?
A C jump.
Oh, I hate that shit.
Bruce should have done a C jump. Jeff should have done a C jump shot on.
You should have
done
a firebird.
What's that?
I'll tell you later.
Should have done the Kimmy Gibbler.
You're not old enough. I'll tell you later about that.
I am not old enough. I'm charisma, charisma 25. I'm a charisma 30. If we're doing age.
Oh my
okay,
God.
So anything else on the tribal or anything like that? The wine is hitting. We're getting goofy.
We're goof down. No.
Okay. So last question. If you had to guess right now, who's going to win the whole thing? Who is it?
Kelly.
Wow. Okay. I am going to move it to Brando.
Wow.
I loved his little like wearing the buff as a little tube top moment. I thought that was really sweet.
Well, yeah.
And I think that's going to win him the whole thing. That is.
It's enough. It's enough in my opinion.
He has my vote.
My humble,
I
am H.O. in my humble opinion.
Oh, I am H.O. I only heard H.O. I was like.
I want to talk about next week on.
Okay, go ahead.
Jake faceplants into the fire.
Yeah, what the? He lost all of his bones. His bones. Someone put a hex on him and took his bones and he melted into the fire. They're cooking
most likely,
him.
Who's most likely to put... I think Keturah would have put a hex on him.
Keturah meant to put the hex on Bruce and then yeah. Like someone like actually knocked into her and she put it on Jake.
No, but actually Kendra's the most likely to do like hex, like witchy shit.
Agreed.
So it could have been her.
Yeah.
We talked about it has to be Caleb. There's a camp raid. We talked about that. We have a soundbite of Kendra saying, I will lose my shit.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Drew digging... for an idol, hidden idol, and Dee saying that she feels like her boyfriend's cheating on her. Those are my notes.
It must be like Basile helping Austin look, and then they find him like that, and they're like, traitor.
Traitor. Absolute traitor.
Judas.
Judas.
Okay. Anything else? Any other thoughts?
No.
Okay. Amazing. That's the episode. We are so happy to be here again for Survivor 45 week to week. We'll be here next week. We're going to be dropping on Fridays. Hopefully this will be out tomorrow, which is Friday the 6th. Next week is Friday the 13th. So it'll be extra spooky episode.
Yeah. We're going to put hexes on Jake.
We're going to put hexes on everybody. So we're Binge on TV. If you're listening on the Survivor specific feed, then you can go follow Binge on TV for our other coverage. Right now we're doing Wheel of Time and we're doing One Piece. We're about to do Fall of the House of Usher. We got screeners, by the way, so I'm about to watch that shit tomorrow.
I cannot wait to watch that.
It's Mike Flanagan's last show on Netflix, so it's about to be a banger. It's got the best cast fucking on Netflix. It's his last on his Netflix contract. And honestly, after they canceled Midnight Club, I'd be like, I'm going to Hulu or I'm going to Prime or something like that. Or Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, give us the screeners. CBS, give us the screeners. Anyway, best thing you could do for the pod is go hit subscribe and come hang with us week to week. We have a Discord. It's Binge on TV Discord. The link is in the bio. So if you want to come shit on us or agree with what we're saying or come up with a theory or come up with something else to talk about.
Or tell us what we are out of whatever scale of your choosing on charisma.
Yeah, if you want to like give us a rating on Apple and tell us what charisma we are, tell us the Riz. We'd love that. Anyway, this is Survivor 45 pod. We are Binge on TV and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.